of our Romans. And yet today we bow down before you and we want to lift you up as Joseph did his welcome, because there is no God like you. And I really pray that God realizes that we can continue to be a light, but continue to be the example and the hope that people are looking for. But continue to trust you, minister. Continue to take pride away from us. But help us to walk humbly before you as righteousness. But thank you so much for this morning, for giving me the opportunity to preach the sermon today. But please take care of the preacher. Help me to say things that I want me to say. Things that you want to say, help me not to say them. For the very things you want to say, help me to say them. I pray that we'll leave there encouraged, we'll leave there inspired. But above all, called higher, because you're a God that calls us higher. But please be with us today, be with us this morning, in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Good morning, guys. It's great to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me to speak to you today. It's been a while since I've been here. I don't know, the last time I came here was a while ago when CJ, I think CJ was here. So that's a long time ago. But it's great to see all faces here. You know, you can't see your faces here. The things that encourage me the most is to see some of the people who have fought battles in the kingdom. Isn't that right? And the one thing that I'm telling you, I've said to myself, it's not so much how you start, it's how you finish. Because, you know, we can start great, and we can go through our ups, we can go through our downs. But it's how we finish in the Lord that really matters. You understand? Amen. And it's great to see, you know, right there, we have the whole talk and the announcements. I'm talking about the football team. But you know, though, you guys are starting your training on Thursday, we are starting our training today. We're starting today, but we're ready. We're ready for the match. We're ready for the match. We're starting the place, you know. Where you know, where you lost in the way you want to be seeing our brothers, come and see us just to play a football match. Even though competitive, you know, we're doing it in the name of Jesus. You understand? No whinging, no whining, you know, right? No going up to the referee, you understand? You understand? Even though the goal might have been unfair. So, amen. But it's great to be here, it's great to see Ian here this morning. And then you'll see no more of the other things. I'm sure. Okay, well, then you want to speak about it. Anyway, you know, I love that. Great to see you in a shaggy. You know, some of our friends come, you know, back in the days in Africa. You know, back in Virginia Shaggy, in the budget is Jackie. But we know, so we look to run, by the way, here or there, it's all in the name of God. Isn't that right? I think, guys, we want to make it together. Thank you for that. No matter how you call it, what we teach it, you know, relational discussion we have, the goal is to make it to heaven. So today, let's talk about Hebrews 11. You know, one thing that we've been doing in the Southeast, we're about to finish our series, we looked at Hebrews 11 after some time, and we said, let's go through some of these characters, one by one, and see some lessons that we can learn from this individual. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11. You know, one thing that I do want to say, when you look at the church, there's been a lot of newlyweds in the church. I think there's a lot more going around the church, but axes and bones. And about time we need to see more people getting married in the Lord's church. Yeah. Now, the Bible, see, one thing that I'm going to declare, the Bible doesn't use the word single when it talks about the ministry. It's the word of marrying and marriage. That's what the Bible uses. I think it's great, you understand, but I think, you know, there's a lot of encouragement when you see a lot of these single guys stepping into, I don't know what you call it. Is it the unknown? I don't know what it is. Okay, Joseph is going to shoot right there. You understand? But then the great place to be married is not right. I'm sure there's a lot of surrender in the end of heaven. A lot of people in the Northeast say, man, your millions in the Southeast were married on Friday to Esty Marie from South Africa. You should have seen that cooking down with his daughter in the bar. It was a great time. We see, we have our single seeing the Lord. We want to see more marriages in the church, for single men, we can enter God's church. Isn't that right? We don't think of us. But in Hebrews 11, that's what it means to already in my time. That's okay. Hebrews 11. You know, the Bible is about, it talks about some of these heroes of the faith. We see some of these men waiting. We see some of these men worshipping God. Or we see some of these men, you know, not really expecting what God was going to give them. And you know, we pick up in verse 33 says, above all that I say, I don't have time to tell you about Gideon, Balaam, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gave what was promised. Who shut the mouth of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and rooted armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, whilst the others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Church, this morning, what do you make your faith on? What is your faith based on? Even though you can have said I became a baptized disciple, and God didn't give you anything else, would you still remain a faithful disciple? It says these men here were commended. None of them received what had been promised. Isn't that right? And sometimes that can become a crutch. When you say, man, God, you know, I've never decided all these days, I need to do this, 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 this for me. It's about your relationship with God. On His terms, but no terms. God has something better. For us, so that only together with us will they be made. But you know, this morning I want to look at a character in the Bible, in the book of Judges. Judges chapter 6. Let's turn there. The character of Gideon. Now, how do you know what's going on? Anybody named Gideon in fellowship? Anybody? Gideon? Okay, who was Gideon? Gideon. Who was he? He was a priest. He was a priest. What did he do? Anybody else? Some fascination. God were able to fight, and you think he could. Isn't that right? Title of my message: go in the strength you have. Go in the strength you have. You know, we pick up here, you know, in Judges chapter 6. So when you look at the last verse in Judges chapter 5, it says, "Then the land had peace for 40 years." You know, brothers and sisters, this morning, I went back because he was visiting with us. One of the things that was happening to Israel back then was that Israel was always turning its back against God. So there was a period of apostasy where people were serving God and then they started to worship idols again. And then after that, God led them into oppression by Israel's enemies. And so these enemies were oppressing them for years upon years upon years. And then the oppression, they cried out to God. And what happened was it led to renewal and repentance. It was cyclical. And then followed by deliverance. So every single time there was apostasy, oppression, and then oppression, there was renewal and repentance, and then there was deliverance. Use of God. It was a vicious cycle. But you know what? Our God is always faithful. Yeah. You might have been through some cycles in your life. Our God is still faithful. I don't know where you've been at today. I don't know where your life has been today. God has a great plan for you. You know, in Judges chapter 6, verse 1, again, the Israelites believed in the eyes of the Lord. For 7 years, he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and the other Israel peoples invaded the country. They passed on the land and bring the crops all the way together. And they not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count them and their families. They made the land to ravages. Midian was so impoverished, the Israelites, that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried out to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord of Israel says. I brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them from before you and gave me their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not because of the Amorites, it moves back today. But you have not listened to me. That brings me as a church. We will keep on listening to the words of God. What about what we get out there in the world? You understand? That's about to replace out there. There's a lot of alternative religion out there today. Some, you know, we are calling it soft religion. You understand? Where everybody just feels good about it, but the core of discipleship calls you to a life of Jesus Christ. A life of denial, a life of sacrifice. That's why you're here today. Amen. You know, the angel of the Lord came and sat on the hill in Ophrah that belonged to Joash and his servants, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep him from ignorance. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior."
Wow.
But Sir Gideon replied, "If the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all these wonders that our fathers told us about?" When they said, "Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? For now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hand of Midian." The Lord said to him and said, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you?" No, guys. I'm fine. I'm going to write you a story about this. Point number one, go in the strength you have. You know, here's one thing, guys. You know, the Midianites, well, you know, these guys were vicious. These guys, you know, the Israelites here were fighting in caves. Israel was brought low by because of their own sin. Isn't that right? You know, sometimes you always say, is this beautiful? Okay, that's not fine. I love coming around, okay? That's fine. You know, sometimes, you know, we beat ourselves low by what people do to us, but sometimes we bring things upon ourselves by what we do to ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. I know right here, he says these guys were hiding in cracks, they were hiding in caves. It took Israel 18 years of being under bondage. 18 years. And it wasn't until David defeated Goliath, you understand, Samson, bondage upon bondage, that our great victory came. Where they come from. You know, the Midianites were a great army. They were hiding in that same place, but there was terror around. You know, Rob says this morning, what brings us low? What are some of the things that brings you low? And we must. Family circumstances? You always happen. Things beyond our control? A loss of a loved one? Sins? Things done to us? Injustice? Oppression? And yet these guys were crying out to God. You know, when you are low, what do? You cry out to God. You know what? We cry out to God. Not for any of us, we cry out to God when we are low. He's the only one that can turn your situation around. You know, in verse 7, when he says, "You have not listened to me." I don't tell you guys, I've been in the church now for over, right since I was baptized. I've been in the church now for 26 years. Come on. I've been decided. If I tell you that life has been easy, I'll be married. I didn't do my school or not. Not once, not twice, not three times. But I'm here.
Amen.
Because it's how I finish. You know what?
Amen.
Well, most of the time, some of the times when I was down on my knees was because of pride in my heart. A lack of burden to people around me. You know, people in authority in the ministry. Or maybe not really being sensitive to my wife. And not listening. Go through those things, you know right. But you learn, you know right. In fact, I don't repeat those verses again. What do you want to say? Says, are we still listening to God? Are we sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit? Are we listening as a fellowship? Because you know, one of the greatest things that will stop God's church from advancing is what? When we stop listening to the word of God.
Yeah.
I come across people like this. Disciple. Not for me. I hear people say, "What are the relationships?" Not for me. I'm 51 years old.
Come on, Tom.
I need discipline in my life. I volunteer. I go out. What my name? I say, "What my name?" Here am I, God. Okay, bring out the dance. I am ready to disciple. 51 years old. Many years ago, God told us to bring this out to set. 70 years old, he says, "You know, guys, I'm 70. I still get inside." You know what my dad told me now, man? I said, if I'm going to make it to heaven, I better have somebody who is chiseling some of the hardness of my heart. Nobody's going to run after you. You're going to go after it.
Yeah.
There are 98 references in the Bible to not another scriptures. We don't read this at first. How many times have you ever read that heaven yet? Have you guys had your correlative address? Hey, man, it's good in our hearts. You are interested. You need it. You need to be those relationships.
Yeah.
I will still listen, brothers and sisters. First, you need to remind us how bad. He was beaten up, he was hiding. And then God sits and says, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. God saw a mighty warrior. God sees you for who? We can become not as we are. God sees you, not for us. He sees us for who we can become, not as we are. Many of us are walking around, you know, we don't have a church yet. But I come from the side. We want to evangelize in our kingdom and still say, everybody, God is with you. I've been around two of guys in the church. To walk around thinking, oh, you know, and guys, we make some mistakes. Let's just be honest. When we categorize it, we're not spiritual or spiritual, sharp, not sharp, poor, rich, this and that. Let me say something. The Holy Spirit is a lender. The Holy Spirit is a lender. Now, there are times for leadership. But we're going to get on board here. When God says, go in the strength now, you mighty warrior, take it on board. This is where God wants us. Not by our own intellect or duty. Power makes perfect in weakness. When you are weak, then you are strong.
Yeah.
How much do you boast about your weaknesses? Do you boast about them? I can tell you guys, I have weaknesses. I'm of those weaknesses. I'm impulsive, I'm working on that. I'm growing that area, it's not us. Sometimes I'm very quick, I'm working on that. Sometimes, you know, my wife says when people are talking, you boast it. I'm working on that. Still sad. The preacher must talk too much. Sometimes I'm preaching, the guy said, brother, you are talking too much. That was a long message. I'm working on that today. I'm dressed up today, it's 5 minutes back. But most of the time I'm wearing jeans. You
steps. And some of the people start to come and see their bios and they walk
around
they got money, wow, they've got this, and you want to be like them. If only he was in their house and said, no. But sometimes, you get a part of that. Strength is not, strength is character. It is what is inside that suit. And the character, the heart, not what is on the outside. The most expensive labels will not meet. Dutch Cabana, when you come here on the Dutch Cabana, I say yes. As a student in the same I used to wear yes. I don't want to say myself, I used to wear yes. Yes, yes, man, yeah, that's all I want. And it was cheap, I can't believe. Six. When I became a disciple, man, okay, it wasn't some of the labels on the outside, but the quality of my heart. David was a shepherd, was thinking of sheep dung. And there was no deliverer back then. The 12 ordinary disciples were schooled, ordinary men, what made them different was they tapped into the Spirit's power. They have been with Jesus.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes the thing that breaks my heart in the church is when I walk around and see people with a lack of confidence, who have the Holy Spirit beating down on themselves, day in day out. I can't. You can be yes, I can't be yes. How a church is a lovely. It's a family. But when it's a confidence, it can never get you. How can we be a lot? Give your mistake to get in there. Just explain the story that we might see world. My plan is the weakest, and I am the least. Insecurity, we're going to get vulnerable. I love the vulnerability of giving. Over to where you are,
yeah,
and then get the help.
Yeah.
But when the help comes, don't reject the help.
Yeah.
I went, brother, I need some help in my marriage. And you go there, and the person helped me, and you're getting the person, the person helped me.
Yeah.
I need some help there. They give me direction. I was thinking that, get the inputs.
Yeah.
Can I be used by God? Never put a question mark where God has put a full stop.
Mm-hmm.
You are awesome in the hands of God, you're mighty, but you're hanging out there. Some of us do not take confidence.
Yeah.
You know, brother, sister, you are great. You are beautiful. They ask me, he says, sir, confidence. Amen. Thank you for that. We need to encourage one another, not tear each other down. Can I have an impact? You say, can I have an impact? Yes, you can. Kill the language of doubt. Guys, our words, words have power. You know, my wife does this a lot. My kids are sleeping on the bed, my wife will go in the rooms, and she will read the Bible and speak words of life to those children. Prepare for our kids. We're going to be speaking words of life in future. Not words of negativity. Teenagers, words of life. Words of life. Who was of life into your life? Not rather than music. Only other than music that goes to life. Absolutely, because you used to learn the music of the Lord. Watch my blood on that. You know, Gideon was saying, man, Lord, I am the weakest in my clan. You know, let me get some information. For God is saying, you're a mighty warrior. Say it on God. Fresh meat in a virus. Say it on God. You know, in the Bible, so the scriptures, God said, Lord, I am going to be with you always to the very end of the age. Say it on God. God is with you, mighty warrior. Many of us walk and say, God is not with us. And we act powerless, which is how the antithesis of what it means to be a Christian. Our church is awesome. Not because of him, but because of the Holy Spirit that is there.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying walk around with arrogance, but I'm saying walk around with confidence. Confidence is the way of God. Get to know God. Why you go to tear down and build up? Oh, that's it. Should we have a time for worship? I'm going to come again. Amen. Okay, point number two. Point number two, tear down and build up. You know, in my own life, 26 years as a disciple, I've always got to be assessing myself. Where is my heart? Where is my heart getting hard? Where is my heart getting soft? What are some areas that I've done very comfortable with? Isn't that right? That my things that I think are okay, but are not okay, isn't that right? Things that I think are kind of acceptable, but can damage your faith.
That's right.
Talk about always assessing those things. Always assessing. So let's see right here. God knows Gideon, and the next challenge for Gideon, go to your father's house and tear down his altars. We pick up in verse 25. Genesis 25. Are we all there? Genesis 25. That same night, the Lord said to him, take the second book from your father's third, the 1-7 Genesis. What do you know about God? He says, when God gives a challenge, he gives the most difficult challenge. And he wants to say about that. Is that right?
Yeah.
And she says, take the second book from your father's third, the 1-7 specific. Who knows better than that kind of part of that book? Is that right? But he said, that's really very well said. Tear down your father's altar to Baal and cut down the Asherah pole beside it. Then build a proper kind of altar to the Lord your God on the top of this side. Use the wood of the Asherah pole that you cut down. Offer the second book as a burnt offering. So Gideon took 70 servants, and Gideon the Lord told him, but because he was afraid of his family and the men of the town, he didn't abide rather than in the daytime. At least he didn't. In the morning, when the men of the town got up, there was but the altar demolished with the Asherah pole beside the cut down, and the second was sacrificed on the unicorn's altar. They asked each other, who did this? When they carefully investigated, they were told, Gideon, son of Joash, did it. The man of the town demanded of Joash, bring out your son, he must die. Why? Because he has broken down those altar and cut down the Asherah pole beside. But Joash replied to the host of crowd around him, are you going to be Baal's cause? Because are you trying to say, whoever finds for me shall be put to death by morning? If Baal really is God, is a God, he can deny himself. I like that. When someone raises up his altar. So that day, they called Gideon Jeroboam, saying that Baal contained me today. Now the Gideonites and Amalekites and other Israel peoples joined forces and crossed over the Jordan and came to the valley of Jezreel. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon and he blew a trumpet. Somebody that Israel to follow him. He sent messengers from Manasseh, calling them to Arabs and also into Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali. So they too went off to meet them. You know, if I had time, if I write this down as a reference, it's going to be chapter 4, 25 to 31. One of the biggest things that we see in the Bible says again, once said, you're not going to the book of Genesis, because the Israelites always went back to worship Israel. Solomon was taken away by his foreign wives, Chemosh. And Molech, the God of the Amorites, they were sacrificing their kids in the fire. That's how Solomon was led. You know, God says, we are not immune to what Israelites were going through. We are not immune to it. We are not immune to it. We are not immune to that. You know, in verse 25, one of the things that we can focus on, he says, God says, tear down your father's idols and build a proper altar to God. We are building proper altars to the Lord.
Yeah.
I believe one of the biggest things that is hurting us nowadays in the world I'm living, number one, sometimes you know the altar of worldliness and materialism promise of God. Where people's devotion to the church and the fellowship becomes watered down by the God of money.
The world will set your pattern. When I was growing up, my mom had a sweet story in my ship.
those of us who are backwards. Back then, you know, they used to go to these sewing shops and you buy a box of Buddha rice. And then you go to the market, how many years do you want? 1 year, 2 years, and then you come back home, come back home, everybody's talking about Christmas, things like that. So, what is it with a box of crossing around us? The world's pattern might be affecting some of us today. Paul says, and they came off to all men, those who seem to be like, okay, we come back to church. I really believe the doctrine of relatability is killing some of us.
Yeah.
In order to relate, our boundaries get closer. In order to relate, our boundaries get closer.
Yeah.
I'm one of these people, you are his God. Let people see your God. You know what? Let people see your God and what your God wants to do for you. He says, you know, you are not following longer to the pattern of this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. It's good, pleasing, and happy. You see, take one here. Close it here. It says, God's will is what? Good, pleasing, and perfect. Now, are you a transformer? Or are you a conformer? A transformer is only controlled by the Spirit. I'm not going to watch. A conformer is only who is what's controlled from the pressure outside. Yeah. And sometimes the Lord wants you to give. I was told yesterday, so did a gentleman in the service. So back in there. He didn't make it. But that's okay. We pray for him. You understand? It's a lot of same projects. When people don't make it, they have a prayer list, and I don't try them up, we keep on praying for them. You know, so he said, he's a student. I don't know what to do today. Cash out. So I said, you know what? I need to dash out here because I need to go to Master. He said, he seems to think, what kind of cars have I must have Piers ago? He says it's kind of expensive. I said, I know it's expensive, but that's what he said. You know what? Let me bust you out for free. I said, no, I don't need that. Free possible. I said, no, that's fine. Oyster, yeah. It's subconscious. It was a free desire. Sometimes you're tempted to say, no, it's a conscience. What areas? Let me go to areas. What areas do you are compromising in your life? It's simple to ask. Generally, in your life, what are the areas that you think, smallly, am I compromising in? Gideon was weak, but he was still walking. What areas? You know, teenagers, I'm going to have a word.
Come on, guys.
I'm ready for two teenagers now. Now, I'm church. I'm a hard line guy. As for my kids, I come to the boss. That came out of that, he used to come out. Because as a whole, that's what was in the Bible, that also relates to the text. Because my children, to listen to music that will help them see God and live. like a Christian, a bishop in the rebellion.
Elijah was burned out. John the Baptist was a loud man. Martha
for some Olivans. Mary was lazy. Samson had long hair. No one was short. Peter mentioned that Moses had a short penis. So did Peter. Paul, but God opposed him. But God doesn't require a job interview. He doesn't hire and fire like most bosses. I will say amen, because it's not our dad that our boss. He doesn't look at financial gain or loss. He's not prejudiced or partial, but judging, grudging, sassy or grassy, not dead, to a crime, not blind to a need. As much as we try, those things are free. We can do wonderful things for wonderful people and still not be wonderful. Satan says, you're unworthy. Jesus says, so was I am. Satan looks back and sees your mistake. God looks back and sees the cross. Brothers and sisters, the joy of the Lord is the strength of your people.
Just say the preacher is one in a thousand. You have better service than you. Amen. But so thank you so much. This is impacting your expression and the skill with which you preach the gospel is just unbelievable. And we take the message to heart.
Amen.
We take the message to heart. And you said something that I've never had in my life. I've never had a 50 cents. Please stand for the last.
And so please stand. Psalm 10:23, God's battle.
Come and join the few that have been few. Come and join the band of Christian brothers. If you all have suffered for this fight, Satan's kingdom we will now undo.
Your seat now.